This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you news of the world. Tonight, Washington, Republican giants Taft and Vandenberg do battle on the Senate floor. New York, the Czech crisis reaches the UN. Chicago, economics, especially hog economics, reaches the headlines again. Rochester, one American town shames all the world capitals. Now, a brief message from Tom Moore.
A sniffle, a sneeze, a raspy sore throat. Could it be you're catching cold? Well, if this is you right now, remember your Alka-Seltzer ABCs. Yes, get some Alka-Seltzer from your druggist and try the Alka-Seltzer ABC cold comfort treatment. See how much better you feel, how effectively Alka-Seltzer can relieve so much of your distress.
A, Alka-Seltzer.
Take Alka-Seltzer at once for fast relief from the ache all over feverish misery of a cold. And follow the directions on the Alka-Seltzer package.
B, be wise.
Beware of drafts. Be sure to get more rest than usual.
C, comfort.
Comfort the sore throat caused by your cold by gargling with Alka-Seltzer. You'll never know how effective an Alka-Seltzer gargle can be until you try it. So do try it. Get a 30 or 60 cent size package of Alka-Seltzer from your druggist and start that ABC cold comfort treatment. And say, why not get two packages instead of one? Yes, an extra package of Alka-Seltzer. Then when your tablets get down to four, with an extra package, you'll have some more. Now, Alka-Seltzer brings you the noted commentator, author, and reporter, Morgan Beatty.
The expected head-on collision between two Republican giants, Taft and Vandenberg, occurred on the Senate floor late today. The sparks flew during a Taft attack on the European Recovery Program. The senator from Ohio asked Congress to cut back Truman aid to $4 billion on the ground that lavish dollars will do more harm than good. And he insisted that the aid plan covered only 1 year and not 4 years as projected. Senator Vandenberg, the European recovery pilot, immediately took issue with the senator from Ohio. The European recovery program contemplates 4 years of United States assistance, he said. While no Congress can bind the next, Senator Vandenberg added that he personally would feel obliged to vote for continuing aid beyond the first year if countries on the receiving end lived up to their obligations. Senator Taft grew very angry. I wholly disagree, he shouted. There is no such obligation. There is no contract. There are no partners. So far as I can see, he declared, they, the Marshall Plan nations, have not agreed to do anything to our advantage except as it is to their own advantage. Senator Taft had been leading the major attack all day on Truman Marshall aid to Europe before this clash occurred. Earlier, he told the Senate he did not take much stock in the argument that the Marshall Plan will boost the morale of Europe, particularly if every shot in the arm costs $6 billion. The European Recovery Program, said the presidential candidate and senator from Ohio, is completely without justification on economic grounds. We may lose every cent we put up, he said, but there is a chance it will aid in the battle against communism. The stakes are so large, I believe we should take that chance. However, in the opinion of Senator Taft, $4 billion is enough. In any event, the European Recovery Program, he said, will seriously interfere with our own economic stability, and a too lavish distribution of American money will do more harm than good. The senator from Ohio spoke for a band of some 20 or more diehard opponents of the Marshall Plan as is. I wish to point out, said Mr. Taft at one point, that this is no war measure. If we faced war, we would do much better to devote all of our attention to military aid, because the effect of this aid will hardly be felt in improved conditions for a number of months. Hours before the senator spoke here in Washington, the five nations that form the solid core of Western Europe concluded the Treaty of Military Alliance as forecast. Spokesmen for all five nations, Britain, France, Belgium, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, agreed it was the tightest single bloc ever formed on the western edge of the continent, and they left the military alliance open for other European nations to join. But it is not open to nations outside of Europe, such as the United States. America would be limited to association with the bloc as a whole. There would be no American voice inside the structure. In Prague, Czechoslovakia today, the funeral of Jan Masaryk provided a tragic background for the current struggle between the East and the West. Thousands on thousands of men and women, many of them weeping and troubled, paid their final tribute. The communists continued to insist that Masaryk killed himself because his former friends in the West disapproved of his dealing with communists. One newspaper writer charged the foreign press had committed murder, and he said, "It's time to see who is here in Prague as guests among us, writing as they please. Some must be thrown out, and others remain only if they write as they should. There were men and women wearing the Communist Party button in the long lines before the Masaryk casket in Prague, but even those buttons failed to stop bitter, unguarded remarks. One middle-aged woman in tears pointed to a group of communists. She said, "Look at them. They do not even have enough decency to stay at home, those hypocrites. They have come to sneer at their victim." Today, the United Nations struggled manfully, if unsuccessfully, with trouble in other parts of the world. Here is John McVane in New York.
8,792 miles separate Chile from the Kremlin. But the South American country tonight called on Russia to explain before the United Nations how Moscow helped the communists destroy the liberties of Czechoslovakia. On the express instructions of Chile's President Gonzalez, Ambassador Santa Cruz, the Chilean UN delegate, demanded the Security Council take up the case of Czechoslovakia at once. So Chile, a sovereign power, forced action on the bitter complaint of Dr. Papanek, the Czech delegate, that UN officials pigeonholed yesterday on a technicality. The Security Council debate was immediately set for Wednesday. A Russian veto cannot stop it from being placed on the Council agenda. A veto can only stop the Council from taking specific action against the Soviet Union. The debate will be as explosive as a time bomb. UN delegates were firm personal friends of the late Jan Masaryk. It may be next to impossible to prove legally that the Russian officials who visited Prague were the hidden hands behind the Czech communist move to power, but the charges could shake the UN to its foundations. The Chilean complaint, immediately circulated to council members, bristled with tough talk. It declared Russia exactly repeated actions and methods Nazi Germany employed in the years before the last World War. Chile charged world peace and security are in imminent danger because a UN member broke the charter and acted against another member. As for who will represent Czechoslovakia in the debate, why, said Ambassador Santa Cruz, of course it must be the regular Czech delegate, Dr. Papanek, the friend of Masaryk. This is John McVane in New York.
Next, news by NBC reporters stationed on the home front. First, economic. Economic pressures in the Midwest. Here is Alex Dreyer in Chicago.
Livestock prices, especially the pork division, have been reacting downward to a threatened stoppage in the flow of steaks and hot dogs to the public, and here's why. It looks tonight like a nationwide strike of some 100,000 CIO packing house workers will be called on schedule 1 minute after midnight Monday. The last word available this evening is that the 10-cent gap between the workers' wage demands and the offer of the big meat packers hasn't been narrowed at all. Negotiations are deadlocked. In an hour, the National Strategy Committee of the Union will hold an emergency meeting on strike plans, and something new, something different in strikes is brewing. The Chicago Back of the Yards Council, composed of 189 different organizations from churches to bowling leagues, may call the strike instead of the union, set up its own non-union picket lines that no packing house worker would cross. That strategy might circumvent a Taft-Hartley law provision that would postpone a walkout for about 2.5 months. President Saul Alinsky of the Back of the Yards Council told us this afternoon that he has authority to put the plan into operation, and it may extend to Kansas City, Los Angeles, and other cities. Alinsky says further, if there is an injunction issued against him, he's not sure he would comply. As the strike deadline nears, farmers are starting to cut off the shipments of livestock to such big packing centers as Chicago. Unless the CIO union accepts the offered 9 cents more an hour increase, there will be less, much less meat in your butcher shops within the next 14 days. The meat companies say they're standing firm on their offer. Take it or leave it. This is Alex Dreyer in Chicago.
There's more than the seamy side of human relations. Proof? The intentions of the village of Byron, USA, and how the village made good on those intentions. Here is Jack Ross, station WHAM, Rochester, New York.
Last spring, 10 people in the little village of Byron, New York, decided to do something to help the world situation instead of just talk about it. And today, nearly $8,000 are on their way to needy families half a world away. The proceeds were reaped from what was called the Lord's Acre Project, an idea that started when members of the Byron Presbyterian Church decided to dedicate an acre of crops to the Lord instead of painting the church as intended. The profits would then be turned over to 9 families in war-torn Europe. One resident donated the land, another the seeds, and the third supplied farm machinery. In less than a month, the whole population of the village, 240 people, mind you, were reporting to the fields after the chores were done, plowing and cultivating not 1 acre of land, but 16. At harvest time, Catholics, Jews, and Protestants worked side by side. But more could still be done. The result was an auction which drew contributions from all over Western New York State. A Jewish mother donated her silver candlesticks, a family heirloom. Boy Scouts canvassed the neighborhood for saleable goods, and industrial firms gave autos, tractors, radios, refrigerators, and even a trailer. From farmers came crops and livestock, and from the wives their proudest preserves. On auction day, October 18th, an open field on the outskirts of Byron was transformed into a cornucopia of goods. The women of the community presided over a 100-piece cake as two auctioneers chanted their wares. The $8,000 netted by the sale now in the hands of three worldwide charity organizations representing each faith, and Byron, New York, expects personal reports from the overseas communities which will benefit. Because, they say, we want to do something like this all over again, and we intend to do it. That's the Lord's Acre Project. And this is Jack Ross in Rochester, New York.
Now, today's political notes. Washington, the high command of the Democratic Party, decided today to wage political war this summer on two issues, world peace, American prices. And in the social arrangements that attended the decision, President Truman won a convert. She's Mrs. Leonard Thomas of Montgomery, Alabama, of the Executive Committee, and it happened at the Harmony Luncheon at the White House. Mrs. Thomas approached the president over after-luncheon coffee with the $64 question. Here is her report on it. I think the people have gotten your ideas wrong, Mr. President. You didn't mean to ram anti-segregation laws down our throats, did you? Then, said Mr. Thomas, the president pulled, or Mrs. Thomas, the president pulled the Constitution of the United States out of his pocket and said, I stand on the Constitution, I have nothing to take back, and do not make any excuses for anything I said. Then the president read one paragraph from a typewritten sheet. David Lawrence of Pittsburgh, who was standing by, reports the president read to Mrs. Thomas the Democratic Party's stand in 1944 for equal civil rights. Next, Mrs. Thomas asked the president this question. You believe in states' rights, do you not? Yes, the president replied, states' rights are in the Constitution, and that's what I stand on. Mrs. Thomas of Alabama was convinced. She came away and told News of the World that as far as she's concerned, the civil rights battle is all over. And that's part of what happened, more later, in politics today.
Morgan Beatty will return with some more late news. If you've put off figuring out your income tax until this weekend, you certainly don't want a headache to interfere, so you'd better see about that supply of Alka-Seltzer. Be sure you're all set for fast relief from that headache. You see, Alka-Seltzer's fast because of its effervescent base. It gets there fast, gives fast relief. Yes, make sure of that Alka-Seltzer supply, and if those tablets are down to four, that's the time to buy some more.
Mothers, are you having trouble getting your children and your family to take their vitamins every day? Try giving them one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which the amount needed for grown-ups and children has been established. What's more, one capsule every day is all they take. And one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules are low in cost. A full two-month supply for only $2. Ask your druggist for one-a-day brand vitamins. Good for growing children and adults. Remember, for vitamins the easy way, for vitamins the thrifty way, the brand you want is one-a-day.
Now, here again is Morgan Beatty.
And here are signs of our times. Richmond. The Senate of the state of Virginia passed the amended version of the anti-Truman bill today, a measure that will permit the Virginia Democratic Party to name its own candidate for president. The vote was 29-10 to allow President Truman's name to appear beside the label National Democratic Party or some other designation other than the Democratic Party. The Senate ignored an eloquent plea by Senator Lloyd M. Robinette of Lee County. He implored his colleagues to kill the measure and let the state settle its differences within the Democratic Party. The measure now goes to the House of Delegates, where it's almost certain to be approved again, and to the governor for final signature. Washington. John L. Lewis told his 400,000 soft coal miners tonight to discuss their pension plan, the one not yet effected. As a president of the mine workers, Mr. Lewis wrote, he has not been able to bring the operators to terms. He did not say whether this foreshadows a coal strike, but a check in the mine fields indicates none is in sight at the moment. And that's the news of the world. Until Monday at this same time, this is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from the newsroom in Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.